Never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Right, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your boy, LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And you know what? This is a great episode coming your way because you gotta have faith. There's no way we can have a relationship with God without faith. Pleasing God, obtaining salvation, all of this is connected to faith. And I have three guests today who will help me crack this nut. Pastor Kirk Campbell, Reverend Jimmy Jones, and Evangelist Helena Robbins. Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing?
Hello. How you doing, sir?
Great, great. Thank y'all again. We're going to dive into this important and necessary discussion. But before we do, any one of y'all want to lead in prayer? I should have asked before we even started recording, but any one of y'all? No one? Okay. Well, I'll lead us if that's okay.
That's great.
Yeah. Father God, thank you for this opportunity today to have a serious and much needed discussion on faith. And you've answered our prayers, our need for guidance time and time again. And today we ask you to guide us, to lead this discussion and allow the Spirit to touch our hearts and our minds. And adding to that, we ask that our listeners receive this. And all things we pray, in your name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And thank y'all again. So we'll just start right, we'll get right into it. And I'll ask the first question, how should you? And this is mainly for spouses. One member is a believer, the other person is not. What advice would you give the Christian? Evangelist Robbins, you want to start with that question?
Amen. God bless everybody that is here. Thank you again, Pastor, for having me on today to the men of God. What advice would I give a Christian if their spouse was a non-believer? I'm always going to talk about prayer because that's definitely what I believe in. That is something strong, I strongly believe in that. And I would be praying and asking God for strategies because that's what I believe. I would be asking God for strategies on what to do, and fore and foremost, I would do what I need to do to exemplify Christ, to show, because it's nothing like saying something or trying to get somebody to be engaged in what you're engaged in, and that you're saying one thing but you're doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, especially I'll just use a woman for instance. I hate to use a woman because I could use a man, but you know, silence. Sometimes we have to be, when we're in discussion, even if we're trying to win someone over, sometimes we just have to listen.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, you know, to be silent and just to remain humble. I believe that even if it is your spouse, to be to be humble, they need to see the attributes of Christ.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Reverend Jones.
Yes, and I echo the same thing. One of the biggest things is to go to the Word of God, and we know that 1 Corinthians 7, 12, and 14 states that, and I'm not going to read it, but if a believer is married to an unbeliever, they should not divorce their spouse and should strive to live with them, you know, potentially influence them towards the faith. Amen. So that would be my thing. Your life should exemplify how you have the relationship with Christ. Yes. I believe that a lot of times people can say one thing, but their life reflects something else.
Yes.
So your life should reflect Christ, and they should see that in your life. It's just like, you know, even when you're working around an unbeliever, your life should show something that's different. Yes. And they want to ask you, what is it about you that, you know, when you come in, there's joy and peace around you, even if there's chaos. So even in the marriage, that should exemplify Christ. And like I said, there's no need to divorce or separate. Go to the Word of God and just stay in the Word and pray and see God's face on it.
Man, you both get great answers and I like what you said, because you're not going to convert your spouse by chastising them, hitting them over the head with the Bible, telling them that it's this or the highway. Right. You're not going to gain any ground that way. Pastor Campbell.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that to that first question, the advice that, first of all, I would say that when Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, he came with his opinion. He said, this is my opinion. He made that clear. He said this was not the Lord, but he was clearly speaking. But I believe that he had an opportunity to speak of his mind, strong-willed mind, to give good advice to the church at Corinth. And he did say, for if one is a believer and the other is not, he encouraged that person that is the believer to stay in the marriage. So my advice is, when one becomes a believer and the other is not, to take it slowly as you approach the unbeliever, and to approach them with love and care and concern, and treat them with kindness. I want to say this: don't beat the Bible over their head, and don't move too quickly, and pray in secret, and the Lord will reward you openly. One of the things that you also would want to do is don't seem like your spouse is the enemy. Your spouse, you're still supposed to love and care and have that concern for your spouse. Your spouse is supposed to be the number one human being in your life. And so therefore, you treat that person with the utmost respect, and don't make church an outlet for you escaping your husband or your wife. This has happened so much within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's why certain spouses don't want to be with their spouse, because they have actually idolized the church instead of giving respect and love and care to their spouse. spouses. And so it is a matter of taking it with uttermost care, for it is the spouse that is the believer that is the one that has that opportunity to sanctify the unbeliever. And in other words, you're in a place where there's holiness in your life, and you can you can allow that holiness to shine into your marriage and move forward. Not saying that your spouse will accept it, not even saying that your children will accept it, but at least you have tried. At least you have given it a chance to for your light to shine, and that's what Jesus would expect, your light to shine, that men may see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Thank you.
We're going to go to the next question. I appreciate that. So as Christians, we know that there aren't always peaks, for lack of better words. Sunny days are not every day. So when it comes to faith, how does it look during those trials and tribulations? And I'll start with you, Reverend Jones.
Well, during those days that things are not going well and things are going bad, that's, to me, that's when you have to hold on to what you believe in. You have to hold on to your faith when things are going bad. I know that in my life, even when I was sick, the only hope that I had was my faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And even though the doctors were there, it was still my faith in Christ that brought me through. Yes. And if you got, you know, the word says just if you got the faith of the mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I believe that if you got faith, there is nothing that you can't do in the Word of God.
Yes, yes, amen. And for those of you who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Reverend Jones, but a cancer survivor two times, right?
Twice.
Praise God.
The Lord brought me out twice. So I give him all the glory and the praise. Yes. Nothing he can't do. Amen. Just got to have a faith.
Amen. This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
Hebrews, we find that there are two sections in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. There are sections where we read of things that happen and God moved in a mighty way. And then we read it as we come to the second half of Hebrews 11. We see that that lives were actually taken and people lost their lives, but they never lost their faith. And one of the things is a faith is a moving. Faith is always moving. Faith, that's the difference maybe between faith and belief. Faith is an action. Faith is in moving. Faith is in total trusting. And even when things don't seem as if they're going to turn out the way you may think they're going to turn out, you are believing in God so much that that you will move, even if it doesn't happen even in your time, that it and You may go through difficult times. You may even lose your life. I think that people want things to happen always in their lifetime, and it may not happen in your lifetime. All of those that are in Hebrews did not see the promise. In Hebrews 11, those are Old Testament figures. They did not see the promise. And sometimes in our lives, we may not see what we are hoping for. Although we still have the hope for it, because that's the substance of it. As the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have that substance, but we don't have we have not seen it come to pass, but we're holding on and we're moving forward into it, believing that it shall come to pass. And so even in difficult times, and that's when our faith is really tried and tested. All of those, even in the chapter in the Hebrews, faith is tested. We really know faith when it comes to the tests. And so therefore, in the difficult times, hold on to what the word says. Hold on to our faith and what the Lord has promised. Hold on to what the Lord has shown and what God has said. And so that's how we hold on to faith in our most difficult times. And believe me, I have been through some difficult times, and I'm sure we all have been through some difficult times, and we're going to continue to go through more difficult times even now. But when we hold on to God's, we know that God never changes. And so we hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Thank you. Thank you. Spot on. Evangelist Robbins.
Amen. That was so good.
Yes.
I just wanted to stop running. And I heard the song that was in my spirit that says, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. That just came to my mind. But yes. How does faith look look during difficult times? If I can just be totally honest and transparent, because some things in my own life, sometimes it just looked it ugly, bleak, some days unsure. I was in a dark place some of those times, but I thank God for the word of God, and I thank God for that 11. Hebrews 11:1, but also getting in the word of God during those times. And this is for myself, and we have to also tell people, and I grew up with the men and women of God saying, stay in the word, get your word that applies to your life, mm-hmm. that applies. So when I'm going through a difficult time, I'm getting into the word of God in Proverbs 3:5-6, trusting in the Lord with all thy heart. And leaning not in Psalms 46:1, God is my refuge and my strength. Because during those times of darkness, you know, my faith sometimes is not just always there. Yeah. And, you know, we have to not just have faith, but we have to really trust the God. You know, we have to trust in God. And I make the analogy of a chair. We walk into the room. And we automatically go sit in our chair. We don't turn it over looking for bolts and nails and seeing how it's together. We just sit down because we trust and we have faith to believe that the chair is going to hold us up. But I just believe in getting in the word of God. But again, how does it look? Yes, it looks sometimes dim. Sometimes it looks, it's scary. Sometimes, yes. But it is the word of God, according to Isaiah 41:10, about fear not, says, don't be dismayed. And so we just have to trust God and trust his word.
Wow. Wow. You three, that I really appreciate that. And trust is more important than people ever know. Having faith is important. And because as Christians, we're in a secular environment, right? We're in the world. We're exposed to and surrounded by worldly things. And so also, let me ask you this. Does having faith mean speaking up when people deny Christ? And I'll start with you, Evangelist Robbins.
Amen. What should a Christian do when someone, what does faith means when speaking up? Yes. When people deny Christ, faith is really defined as a belief and trust in God. So it doesn't mean that you just have to speak up. I believe that I'm going to let one of the preachers, pastors come on through here with that. But faith is defined as a belief and trust in God. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. Reverend Jones.
Well, I believe it depends on the situation and what is going on. If this person is talking to me directly and denying Christ, of course, we have to defend our faith. And we have to tell them, about our faith and what we believe in. But if they're just spouting off and talking to somebody else, then, it's not up to me to have to tell them about Christ unless I am prompted by the Holy Spirit to give them a word from the Lord.
Yes.
And that's what I go by. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide me on what I need to do in that situation.
I like what you said, no two situations are alike, and there could be a number of variables. So thank you so much. The biggest sin: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might. That's right. But guess what? Love your neighbor too, because here's the reality. Your neighbor is just like you. The biggest sin is the judgment of men, vision 2020, but blind within. So you see others, but won't see self, and talk about your brother when you ask for help. The philosophy is gossipy. I see hypocrisy, because when I fell off the wagon, you were mocking me. Mockery is stopping me from tearing down my walls because you had the gall to tell me I wasn't saved at all. Who are you? A deity? Jesus himself? I want to give you my energy, but there's no energy left, because my mama told me to treat people kind, but don't be blind, because you'll find a dagger in your spine. The one time I believed I had a special connection, but our connection is dead and there's no resurrection. Now think about what you've done. A brother's in pain. I don't want to place blame, but you tarnish my name. It could never be the same, and that's what's breaking my heart. But if I was smart, I would play the part and never look back. But reading God's word, I know better than that. In fact, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my sibling in Christ. And if I don't forgive and forget, I'm losing my life. So in saying all of this, my love will never end, because grudges are poison. And obviously, the biggest sin. Okay. So we will go to the next question. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We really want to talk about that. God giving us the spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, right? I want to get y'all take on that that scripture. So I'll start with you, Pastor Campbell.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm so sorry. It's just technical difficulties. No problem. Can we back up to the last question?
Then just lead right into this one after you answer that.
Okay. Can you give me that question again, and I'll do my best to answer it.
And just in response to, I guess, non-believers per se, right. Like if they, are we in a position or should we respond when people question our faith or the deity of Jesus?
Okay. Was it the question about denying Christ?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I think that as Reverend Johnson said, that it depends on the situation. I think that in every opportunity we get, we ought to be able to try to witness, to come to witness. One of the things that Jesus did when he met the woman at the well, he did witness to the woman, she went and witnessed to the people in the city, they came and they found out that Jesus was who he said he was. They believed, they not just from her testimony, but from him himself. And so she did go and witness. There are other times when Jesus did not say who he was, because it was not of the will of God. So because certain things had to happen and take place. And so there are times when we do need to speak. And then there are other times when we need to speak up. And then there are times we need to act up. And I think that when I say act up, I use those words in quotations. In other words, our actions ought to speak louder than our words all the time. And if our actions can speak louder than our words, I believe that oftentimes our message will get across. So many times we are trying to defend ourselves or defend the word by our words, but our actions may speak louder than our words. And there are times when we just need to move on. Jesus did tell his disciples, when people deny and reject me, the word that you give, shake the dust from your feet and move on. You know, and it'll be as a testimony really against them. But they may see down the line what you have said. And so let your actions speak louder than your words. Speak in love, speak in kindness, firmly, be sound in what you're saying. But if they do not receive it, then you need to move on. You know, there are times we need to move on from I don't want to say beating a dead horse, you know, or casting your pearls before a swine. So the next question, what was that next question?
Yeah, so basically, how does faith diminish fear? And I use 2 Timothy 1:7 as a reference. And
yeah.
Just went to go with that. Tell me your thought.
Yeah, God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity. How does faith diminish fear? Faith and fear do not align with each other. Mm-hmm. They do not align with each other. Because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Yeah. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power. God, you know, he does not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gives us power. Mm-hmm. It is an antithesis of what God gives. Mm-hmm. And so we walk in fear when we move away from believing in the true power of God.
Yeah.
We walk in fear when we develop that mindset of our own selves, believing in our own selves and our own limitations and our own abilities. We begin to walk in fear. Sometimes we can not, sometimes we can walk in self-confidence and we can lose where we start and begin to walk in fear because our self-confidence will only take us but so far.
Yes.
When we find out that when the rubber meets the road, we can't handle the situation. Mm-hmm. And there are situations so great in our faith walk, it can only be God that can carry us through.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so God has not given us that spirit of timidity. Paul was speaking to Timothy for him to go forward and not be afraid to speak, not be afraid to carry the word, not be afraid to, because he was younger, yes. Not be afraid to move on. Because that faith was instilled in him by his grandmother and his mother. Mm. And so that faith walk was already in him. It was implanted in him. You know, it was shown to him. And these, his grandmother and his mother showed him how he could walk in faith. And not in fear. It is an antithesis of what the Lord gives. Fear is total antithesis.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Jimmy, what do you have to add?
As he stated, Paul was talking to his apprentice, Timothy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Paul understood is that fear was going to come. And just like for us, fear is an emotion and fear is going to come. But Paul wanted to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Even though the fear come, your faith should get you by that. So you, even with that fear, you got to have sound mind. You got to be able to know that the Lord is greater than any fear that you may have. So that's what Paul was trying to teach Timothy. And that's what we're trying to get out of this also, that even if fear does come, we have power, we have sound mind. And at the end of the day, we got the victory through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Helena.
Wow, this is so good. Lord God did not give us the spirit of fear, of power, but of a sound mind. And so I know that God wants us to be bold and courageous. Mm-hmm. Because what fear does, fear comes to paralyze us and to keep us from fulfilling the purpose and the call really that is on our life, wants us to stop. And I read 1 John 4:18. It says that there is no fear. There is no fear in God, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. And so that's what fear comes to do. And that's why it's really important that we have a sound mind.
Yes.
And so it's important for us to, you know, have Isaiah 26:3. He'll keep us in perfect peace. If we keep our mind stayed on him, if we keep our mind stayed on him, we won't walk in when fear comes. Like the pastor said, fear will come and try to take over us. And but that's why the word of God is so important. According to Psalms 118:8, the Bible says that we should trust the Lord and put no confidence in man. So when fear tries to come and attack us, we have to combat him with that word. And I looked up the word fear. It's in the Bible 365 times. So every day the enemy would try to come and make us fear. But we have to remember that, as he said earlier, we have the victory in Jesus.
Hey, man, that was powerful, too. Thank you so much. And let's talk about, because you can't talk about our faith. We can't talk about enhancing our spirituality, being comforted, being led, and the right thoughts in our mind without talking about the power of prayer. So let's talk about the power of prayer. And I'll start with you, Jimmy.
Well, when you say the power of prayer, I come to let you know that that's the only reason I'm here today.
Amen.
It's because of the power of prayer. I already know that, that my mom and dad prayed for me, even when I wasn't praying for myself and I was out there in the world. So I know that that's the only reason I'm here today, that it's because of the power of prayer. And we understand that prayer is that connection with the Lord. And when you got that connection with the Lord, then you got all you need. So that's what I believe in, that, you know, even when I was going through my sickness, every day I prayed, every evening I prayed. I mean, so the power of prayer connects you with the Lord. And with that connection, that's what you need.
Amen. Amen. Helena.
The power of prayer. I am like the man of God. I would not be sitting here if it was not for the power of prayer. And I was trying to get to this one scripture. But the power of prayer, according to Matthew 21:22, it says, ask in prayer with faith and believe. We have to ask. And when we go to God, it's so important to go in the right way, in the right posture, having the right heart posture when we go to God. According to James 5:16 says, and the prayers of the righteous, the person has great faith, great power. Mark 11:24 says, if you believe that you shall and receive what you ask in faith. So it is, prayer is so important. It is, you know, we talking about like eating and taking vitamins and you know, you take your medicine every day. You have to take a dose of vitamin C's, but every day we have to take a dose of prayer. We have to continue, because it is a form, it is a formula of direct communication to the Father. So we must pray. We must pray. It is an imperative that we have communication with him, dialoguing. It takes us in a place of intimacy. So it is very important. Prayer is.
Oh, thank you so much, Helena. Kurt.
Yes. One of the things that I recognize all throughout the life of Jesus is that he prayed.
Yeah.
It seemed before every miracle that Jesus did, or when Jesus was with his disciples, many times he stole away or he went away before he went with his disciples. He went away and prayed.
Yes.
He prayed before his Father, before he went to the cross. He prayed so many times. He prayed while he was in the wilderness. He had direct contact with God the Father. He prayed for the will of God to be done, even in circumstances where he did not want to lose his life. In the humanity of Jesus, he did not want to lose his life. He did not want to die on a cross in the humanity of his life. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That could only be done through prayer. That could only be done through humble submission. And so prayer, true prayer, and we must not make prayer a Santa Claus list. Yeah. Prayer is not a list of desires for our will to be done, but it really is a desire for God's will to be done and for us to be in the that will of Almighty God. And so that's what Jesus did, and that's how we are in contact and communication with God, through prayer. And when we are in contact with God, the Spirit of God will reveal to us through the power and through his power, the things that we need to know through and from the Word of God, and things will come more to light with us through fervent and effectual prayer. And I believe prayer sets us in a way where we won't be as upset about things. Prayer sets us in a mode and a mood where our surrendering to Christ prayer, I believe, elevates our praise. And praise will cause us to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, they work hand in hand. Yes. I believe we're empty without prayer, but I also believe that our praise is meaningless without prayer. And our prayer is meaningless without praise. And so we have to come together so we can pray and see the power of God and know true praise throughout our lives.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So I'll tell you, this has been a great discussion. And man, 43 minutes have gone by so fast. As we close, I'm going to give each of you the floor to just sum it up, just whatever you want to say about faith. And I'll start with you, Helena. And thank you again for coming on.
I'm sorry, you said you want us to do.
Oh, yeah. So just as we close up, just whatever you want to say in closing remarks about faith. And I'll start with you.
Thank you for having me. What I want to just say about faith is that it is very important, just because of the Bible says it is impossible, according to Hebrews 11:6, that it is impossible to even please him. And so along with that, I know that I need it. So, and I know that sometimes when we're asking God to increase our faith, sometimes there are things that is happening and coming to help increase our faith, you know, because if you don't ever get sick, you don't never know God could heal you. If you're not broke, you never know if God can restore, supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. So I know that it is impossible to even please him without faith. And so. Thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you so, so much. Kurt.
Oh, thank you. I just want to say that in this day and time, our faith is truly being tested. Yes. And the people of God are going through tests. And I believe that we're going to have to stand on the promises of God through our faith. It cannot waver. We don't want to be wavering in our faith. We don't want to be double-minded in our faith. We want to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord in our faith, and letting the world know that we are standing on the promises of God through our faith in our actions and our works and what we do and how we speak in our faith in God through Christ Jesus, knowing that it is Christ Jesus that saved us through faith, by grace, through faith. And it was not by any works that we did, but it is by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that we were saved. And through by his faith, we work to show that we love God, to show that our faith is real in God through Christ Jesus. Mm.
Amen. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jimmy.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we take that verse and realize that if I can see it, if I can do it, I can touch it. It's not faith. Faith is what you can't see, what you can't do yourself. Faith is the only thing that you have when you know it's the hope that, you know, that Christ is going to bring me through any situation. And as the pastor said, our faith is being tested and tried. But at the same token, we can look back through the word of God and see that they all were tested, just like we're going to be tested and that we are tested. And they all came out with the victory. And that's what I look at. Even though I'm going through, even though I can't touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, or anything, I know without a shadow of doubt, because Jesus died on the cross, that I've got the victory over all that could happen.
Amen, man. I want to thank you all again. This was wonderful. And hey, the cornerstone of what being a Christian is about, you know, yes, believing and knowing, having faith that Jesus was crucified so that we can have everlasting life. Amen. And so without that, where are we? And as Pastor Campbell said, works, that's the evidence. That's all it is. It's the evidence of our faith. So as we wrap up, I just want our listeners to really take a moment and think about the spiritual wisdom that was shared today, and just know that Jesus loves you and we do too. And on that note, I thank y'all again, and we'll see you next time around. God bless
everyone.
Yes.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.